Welcome to High Point Church. My name is Shannon Dickerson, and we hope you enjoy today's message. If you do, please like and share and let us know what you enjoyed most about it.
Well, let's go in our Bibles to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, to our new favorite verse. There's a lot of good verses in the Bible. Like I said, when people ask you, Pastor Trey, what's your favorite verse in the Bible? Well, it depends on when you ask me. I might get something this week that's just like, man, this is my new life verse. Then next week, there's a new life verse. Hallelujah. Because it's all oh so good. And I encourage you to be a word person. Build your life on the Word of God, and you will never fail. It is a foundation that will keep you steady, keep you strong. It'll keep you in the place you need to be. Because, like Minton exhorted us, all of his words, none of them ever fail. They all come to pass. And I noticed that in that verse he said all the things the Lord had spoken to them. And that's really important to get, because there's a lot of things God's spoken to you. It's like I heard somebody say one time and say, man, I need to get a word from God. God, please speak to me. I need to hear from you, God. I need a word from God. And they're in a hotel room crying out to the Lord, and they're even down on their knees imploring the Lord to speak to them. Oh, I need to hear your word from you. And the Lord said, open your eyes. They opened their eyes. They looked over on the little nightstand in that hotel room, and there sat a Bible. And he said, I've already spoken many things to you. Find out what I've already said to you. And if I want to say something else to you, I will. How many times are we doing that? Well, but I just need something alive. You can make this just as alive as any accurate prophetic word that just nails you and speaks right into your life. God has given me so many words out of this, spoken rhema words to me in times where I desperately needed them, because I chose to open this book up, hide these words in my heart, and the Holy Spirit's able to bring them up to me. Amen? Yes. Praise God. It's good to have all the other ways God speaks to you, but I'm here to tell you, this is hearing from God on demand. That's awesome right there. It's just like pushing that little right now button, or whatever that was. Was it Staples that used to have that button? Push it now. I need it right now. On demand. Come on. This is how you can get God's word to you all the time. Whenever you want, however much you want. And the good thing is, you can't OD on this. There is no overdosing on this. Hallelujah. It'll only just get you higher and higher and higher, with no side effect, with no come down. Only life will it add to you. Because his words are spirit, and they are life. That's not my message today. This is 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 23. The Apostle Paul begins a prayer, a short little prayer for this particular church, and in this prayer it reveals some very important stuff to us. Namely, God's will and desire for us. What does God want for all people for all time? Well, you'll find it in this verse. He says, now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely, and may your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. So what this is showing us is, this is not just Paul's heart for the church of Thessalonica. This is not just something that applied to a group and a body of believers 2,000 years ago. We know all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. Amen. That means that this verse is inspired by God for all people, for all time. So God, through the person of the Holy Spirit, speaks this to all of us, showing you his heart, his will, and his desire for your life. Amen. So when I read this, I'm reading this as a personal love letter from God. This is not just words that were written 2,000 years ago or more than that to a bunch of different people, by a bunch of different people. The Holy Ghost inspired this, so God is sharing this with me. Now may I, the God of peace, Trey, myself sanctify you completely. And my heart is that your whole spirit, soul, and body would be preserved blameless until the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now that last phrase right there is a good piece of information for you. You know what that shows us? God constantly repeats this in the Scriptures. It shows us that this work of sanctification, this work of preservation, is not just something God starts and then decides to just move on to something else later. He's not flaky like most of us are. When God starts a work, He finishes it every time. So when God says right here, His heart and His desire is for you to be sanctified completely and your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless until or at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, that means that the work is going to be done all the way up till Jesus splits those eastern skies and returns again. And there is nothing included in here of, unless you do this, or unless you're this bad, or unless you miss it this amount of times. No, this is saying God's going to continue the work in you all the way till Jesus returns. Has Jesus returned yet? No. So that means He's still working in your life. And that's why Jesus said one time in the Gospels, "My Father's always working." Hallelujah. And so that's what we hang our hat on. That's what we believe. So even when I miss it, I hold on to verses like this saying, "Nope, Lord, you're still working in me. You hadn't quit on me. You haven't forsaken me. You're still there working in my life." So your confession should be what? God's working in me. He's always working in me. Hallelujah. So what this verse is revealing to us, though, is that God's will, His desire, is to do this work of sanctification and preservation, which is essentially making you whole, spirit, soul, and body. And He refers to those three elements of you as being who you are completely and who you are wholly. Amen. So God wants each and every one of us to be made whole spiritually, in our soul, and in our body. Every area of your life, He doesn't want anything missing. He doesn't want anything broken. He wants you well, healed, and whole. And this is not a one-off scripture. In fact, you can study the life and ministry of Jesus and you find out real quick, Jesus went around healing everybody, making people whole. And didn't He do it constantly? It was all the time working in His life and ministry. And Jesus said, "Whatever you see me doing, you see the Father doing." Amen. So we need to believe this and receive this and say, "God, I'll have more of this in my life." But what's important to understand is, just because God wants this to happen in your life, just because God wills it, doesn't mean it's automatic. That's why you got a little important word at the beginning of this verse. Now, may. What's the word "may" mean? Well, when you look it up, it means it's possible. There's potential there. It can happen, but just because it can happen and there's a possibility of it happening doesn't necessarily mean that it will happen in our lives. There is a part we have to play to receiving this, and that's why we're looking at these stories in the Gospels that echo those truths in our life. It's kind of like if I said to you this morning, "You may go now." All right, yep, that's right. A lot of people would jump right on that and say, "Oh, really? Pastor's given us permission to leave church at 11:25 on this Sunday morning." Well, you know what most of you do? Probably the same thing you do when Pastor Robert asks you if you're breathing, if you're here, raise your hand. About 95% of you don't raise your hands, right? So it'd probably be about the same thing if I say, "You may go now." Most of you just kind of sit there. Well, that's the way it is in the kingdom of God. In the kingdom of God, God's saying, "You may have this," but a lot of God's people don't take it. They don't receive it. They don't come and get it. And so that's not meant to condemn anybody, but it is a reality of helping me to realize that it's not on God. It's on me to receive. It's on me to take. It's on me to pursue these things. This is why some people get it and some people don't. And what we're going to look at this morning is one of the ways in which this happens in the story of the healing of the 10 lepers. So let's go back to Luke chapter 17 and look at this story of Jesus healing, cleansing 10 lepers. We started this last week, and I'm going to review some of the things that we did look at, and then we're going to get into the how-to. Amen. How did this work in their life? And I'll tell you what, if you want to do a good study in your life to find out how to receive anything you ever need from God, like this wholeness, you know all you need to do? Go study the accounts of individuals in the Gospels that came to Jesus in faith and walked away with their miracle. Go find out, what did this person do? And you know what you find? That in all those instances, they did radical things. It wasn't just the normal nominal crowd that we see on Sunday morning or something like that. These people did things that most people were not doing. That's one of the reasons they were celebrated. That's one of the reasons they were lauded in the Scriptures. But those things are not recorded for us to just say, wow, that'd make a nice Sunday school message. Oh, that's a great story to see how it worked in Jesus' life. It's there to show you that the same one that's the same yesterday, today, and forevermore will do it in your life if you'll do the same thing those people did. Amen. I did a study at Healing School, and it took me well over a year to go through it. I called it Healing's Top 25. Now, some of you sports fans will know where I'm getting that from. The top 25, it's the ranking of the top 25 athletic things or whatever sport it is. And so these are your top 25. Well, the Gospels give you Healing's Top 25 of certain individuals. And when you study the Gospels of where somebody's name was given, how they came to Jesus, what their specific infirmity was, and how they got healed, did you know there's only about 25 of them? Now, it seems like more than that because you got four Gospels, but a lot of times a Gospel writer is repeating a story. So when you harmonize the Gospels, they come together and you realize there's only about 25, depending on which ones you count. Depending on if you count a person's child being raised from the dead or Jesus even being raised from the dead, a lot of different instances like that, but they all point us to how to be made whole. And this particular story is no different. So let's look at it again in verse 11. It says, "Now it happened, as he went to Jerusalem, that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. Then, as he entered a certain village, there met him 10 men who were lepers who stood afar off." Now, I made the point last week that notice here, Jesus was not holding a healing meeting. There was not a crusade going on of, hey, I won't bring all the sick. I'm healing people right now. So at this particular time, in this particular place, I'm going to preach the gospel and you're going to get healed. No, Jesus was just doing his normal activity. He was just traveling. These people initiated the miracle. And you're going to find that in a lot of these cases, that's exactly what happened time and time again. So these 10 guys, lepers, heard apparently that Jesus was coming by, probably saw the crowds that were following him, and they left their leper colony, and they came, even though they stood afar off, and they said, "Jesus, Lord, Son of David, have mercy on us." And we made the point last week that when you study the life of a leper, you find out it was not just a physical disease. Many of them were basically given a death sentence. They're going to die through this particular disease unless they're supernaturally cleansed, right? But did you know what else was involved in leprosy? Not only did you have a death sentence physically, you had a death sentence socially. The law prescribed that you kick them out of the camp. They go live in a leper colony. They had to leave their family. They had to leave their friends. They had to leave their jobs. They had to leave their homes. Do you reckon that might have done something to you emotionally? Do you reckon that might have messed you up on the inside? So my point is today, leprosy was not just a physical disease, it was a much bigger problem than that. And so a lot of us, while we might not have ever dealt with anything that's similar to leprosy, we might have dealt with some of those other things, been kicked out of the camp, been ostracized and said, "You can't be a part of this anymore." And those things wound us. Those things hurt us. And we carry around those grave clothes our entire life, sweeping it up under the rug, pretending like nothing's wrong with us. And I've come to find out in my 10 years of pastoring and many more years of ministry before that, that people's biggest problem is not their physical issues. It's the soul issues. Because a lot of times the physical problems come as a result of these other unresolved things in their heart. Your heart is to be guarded above all things. And so this is the situation of these lepers. And what did these lepers do? They stood afar off, which is what the law told them to do because they were contagious. So you're supposed to stand afar off, keep a distance, hold your hand over your mouth, and cry out, "Unclean, unclean, unclean." So these guys were doing what the law told them to do. Jesus knew that. But I want you to notice what we're going to see in this story is how Jesus ministered to them and how they got their miracle. Amen. So they stood afar off, which we looked at last week as being leprosy was oftentimes mentioned in the Bible because it's a type of sin. And when somebody has missed the mark, when somebody has fallen short of the glory of God, it has similar effects on you that leprosy had physically on people back then. You make a mistake, then what happened? With them, their limbs started falling off. They started having these issues physically, and it started just eating away at their body. It was kind of like malignancy might be with us today. It's probably one of the most relatable things. That's exactly what sin will do to you. When you partake of it, it'll just eat away at your life. Because why? The wages of sin is death. And unless you receive that eternal, everlasting life that Pastor Robert talked about this morning, it will eat away at your life. So you got to have the forgiveness. You got to receive that from the Lord. But the effects of the sin does what to you? It makes you stand afar off. It'll make you withdraw from the Lord and from His people. Have you ever noticed how that happens? It's not hard to find somebody that's missed it in their life and they've sinned. They just go away from religious functions. And those kind of things happen. That's the natural thing. And I exhorted you last week, when you sin, don't run from God, run to Him. Because He is full of mercy. He's much more good and merciful than you've ever imagined any person being. And He will forgive you. He will cleanse you. But these guys stood afar off. Look what happens next. And they lifted up their voices saying, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." So we made the point last week that the consciousness of sin in God's people back then was a real thing. I mean, they were constantly realizing, because the law was all they were hearing, the Mosaic and Levitical law. And because they were hearing that, the Bible talks about how the law brings the knowledge of sin. So they were constantly aware of how far they've fallen short, how much they've missed it. And so therefore, when they come to get healed, what did they cry out for? "I need some mercy. I don't deserve it, but I'm asking for it." And so they're crying out to the Lord like this. And then the Bible says in verse 14, "So when He saw them." And in the Greek, it literally just says, "when He saw." It adds the word "them" there. And so what we spent a lot of time talking about last week was how He is the God who sees. God sees you today just like He saw those 10 lepers yesterday. It might not feel like it sometimes. It might not feel like God knows what you're going through, and you can't. It seems like if God was anywhere close to you, it was a million miles away. That's not the truth. The truth is, He will never leave you nor forsake you. He's right there with you, whether you feel Him or not. He knows and He sees, no matter how bad you've been or how good you've been. God is faithful. And we went into the life of Hagar last week to emphasize that. But I got a different message for you today. Today, we're going to move into how they got healed. How'd they get cleansed? How were they made whole? So let's look at that now today. Luke 17:14. "So when He saw them, He said to them." Now, you need to understand today that Jesus says a lot of things to you too. Amen? And what He said to them was something that's very interesting. He says, "Go show yourselves to the priest." Now, why would He say this to them? Well, it was because the law prescribed to them that if you think you've been cleansed of leprosy, the next step to get brought back into the camp was what? To go get examined by the priest, right? So Jesus told them to go show themselves to the priest. And there is no indication that they were cleansed of their leprosy when He said this. And you know that because look what it goes on to say. "And so it was that as they went," say "as they went," "as they went, they were cleansed." So when Jesus spoke those words, were they cleansed yet? Nope, they were still lepers. But when they chose to do what the Lord told them to do, that's when their cleansing came. Now, we just went through, Minton did a great job going through our blessing, and what was one of the first things we read in there? That God calls things that be not as though they were. You know, a minister that has gone on to be with the Lord that was really used by the Lord a lot, and the power of your tongue and things like that, Charles Capps, You know, I tell people all the time when they say, well, what did you cut your teeth on, Pastor? I said, well, I started off chewing Copenhagen, but I had to pay the price to get the caps off. Now, you do the math of what I'm talking about. Kenneth Copeland, Kenneth Hagin, Charles Capps, and Fred Price. And that's what the Lord had me really learn early on in my life. But Charles Capps, I remember one time I was listening to a message by him, and he was reading that verse about how God calls those things that be not as though they were. It's in Romans chapter 4, verse 17. And he said, he was praying about it, and he was like, well, Lord, it's great, and I'm learning all these things about calling things to be not as though they were, but Jesus, you never did that. He said, why didn't you ever do this, Jesus? If this is what God does and you only did what you saw the Father doing, why did you never do it? And he said for the next several hours, he got thoroughly embarrassed of his ignorance of the Scriptures as the Lord started taking him through example after example after example in the gospel, showing him how he did call things that be not as though they were. And one of them was this one. Why do you tell people to go show themselves to the priest when they're still lepers? Because you're calling them healed. You're calling things that be not as though they were. And what's awesome about it is the Lord said it, but again, it's not automatic. What if they would have stood there after the Lord said, go show yourself to the priest, and then they would have argued with the Lord and said, but Lord, only people cleansed of leprosy go show themselves to the priest. That's why we're here. So if you cleanse us, then we'll go. I can guarantee you, you wouldn't have read about them in your Bible. Because that's not how you get things from the Lord. You get things from the Lord by doing what He tells you to do, even when it defies all logic, even when it makes zero sense. God, if you are waiting for things to make sense that God tells you to do, you're going to be waiting a long time. Because God very rarely operates according to our logic. He'll tell you to do things and it makes absolutely no sense. Like, how about the man that came to Jesus in the Gospel of John, the nobleman who came to Jesus on behalf of his son? And he came all the way up the mountain, is what it says. From Capernaum, he came all the way to where Jesus was. There's no telling how long he had to travel. And he comes to the Lord and he wants his son healed. And you know what Jesus told him? He said, go your way, your son's healed. Now, he came to get Jesus to come minister to his son. So he had to make a decision right then. Do I leave Jesus, who I had to go seek out, and trust that what he said was going to come to pass? Or do I sit there and argue with him and try to get him to come with me because that's what I came for in the first place? He might have had a wife that put him on this mission. And the wife said, honey, you go find Jesus and you make sure he comes with you and you don't come back with nothing because Jesus has the power to heal our son. He goes, Jesus says, go your way, he's healed. He comes back, he obeys the Lord, we know the story, and guess what happens? When he comes back, he finds out his son lived, and then the Bible says he inquired what the hour was when his son was healed, and he found out it was the exact time Jesus said those words. Jesus' words hold power when we obey them. So they were not cleansed as they came. They were cleansed as they went. So what does this have to do with us? Whatever area of brokenness you might have in your life, whether it's physically, whether it's in your soul, your heart, or whatever it might be, one of the first things that I will exhort you with today to getting God's blessing on that area of your life and getting healed is you got to find out what the Lord has already said to you. Let Him give you a rhema from what He's already said to you. That's a really important point. There's a lot of things in here, and you could be chasing rabbits all day. Ask the Holy Spirit, show me the truth. What is it I need to know? And when He gives you a rhema, you become that bulldog that grabs a hold of that bone. And you can sit there and the devil can shake you around like that, but you're holding on. And your legs are going around in there. You know what I'm talking about? That's what you hold on to because that's how God operates. That's why this is in your Bible. So it starts with believing what He's already told you to do, acting on it. Now, notice what happens in the rest of the story. It says, and one of them, say one of them, the tithe, when he saw that he was healed, returned and with a loud voice glorified God. So when 10% of them returned to the Lord, does this sound like some other scriptures? And kind of help you to realize just how things work? See, because why? The Lord works in the tithe. Goes back to our financial series, right? And so this guy, when he saw that he was healed, returned and with a loud voice glorified God. And let's continue reading the story and we'll come back to this. And he fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks, and he was a Samaritan. We spent time talking about Samaritans last week, right? And we found out that not only were they different racially, but they were different religiously. And Jews did not like Samaritans. Samaritans didn't like Jews. And so what this guy was basically like was he was one Samaritan. The majority of these guys were probably all Jews. And so this one guy is having to live with people that hated him. Some of us have probably had that in our life, haven't we? We've had to be around and live with some people that didn't like us, and they let us know it. And those things wounded us and hurt us. So this guy right here, you're going to see, he needed more from the Lord than just being cleansed from his leprosy. So he fell down at his feet, giving him thanks, and he was a Samaritan. So Jesus answered and said, were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? Were there not found any who returned to give God, give glory to God except this foreigner? And he said to him, arise, go your way. My power has made you whole. Come on now. Are you reading the Bible with me? Does your Bible say anything other than this phrase right here? Your faith has made you well. Now, I'll tell you, if I were to go on TBN today, one Christian television, Daystar, they invited Pastor Trey to speak on there, and I were to stand there today and say, your faith will make you whole, I will be criticized, I will be spoken evil of. People will say, who do you think you are? No, it's God's power that heals you. It's God's ability. It's God's will that heals you. And they'll throw out all this stuff to basically tear down the fact of a truth that I just read to you that's in red letters in your Bible. And this ain't the only time he said it. The woman with the issue of blood, he said the same statement. Your faith has made you whole. Blind Bart. Now, I know we talked a little bit about him. We might get into him. I call him Blind Bart because if your name was Bartimaeus, you wouldn't want to be called Bartimaeus. You'd probably go by Bart, okay? So Blind Bartimaeus, he says, your faith has made you well. In other instances, Jesus constantly ascribed the miracle that the person came to their faith. I can give you a laundry list of them. In fact, there's only a couple of instances where faith was not specifically referred to or indicated in some way. So what that shows us is what? What's the best way to get made whole? By your faith. Amen. And you know why that's such good news? That means I'm not waiting on somebody else to do it to me or for me. That means I can choose it. Kind of like that Syrophoenician woman, right? I mean, instances where people came to Jesus and took hold of their miracle when it was obvious it wasn't God's will. You know that with that Syrophoenician woman. It was not the Lord's will to heal her daughter. You know how you know that? Because when she came, Jesus kept walking, kept ignoring her, said it's not good to give what's holy to the dogs. I'm only sent to the lost sheep of Israel. He made statements like that because why? Jesus was only called to the Jewish people. He wasn't called to the ministry to the Gentiles wasn't going to come till later. But this woman brought the later into the now. How? By her faith. She took hold of it before it was God's time. That's why it's like when people throw out all this stuff, it's like, well, in the Lord's time and he'll do this and that. It usually doesn't work that way. Not with healing, at least. There's some things God says, yes, they're going to be in the future. But when it comes to you receiving your salvation, it's like somebody saying, well, I believe the Lord will save me one day. Nah, you get saved today because you're not promised tomorrow. So you get born again today and you can be saved today. And guess what's included in that nice little word saved? Healed. So you can be healed today. Today is the day of healing. Because it's the day of salvation. Amen. So what we're seeing here is Jesus said to this guy, and this is what's interesting. The New King James says your faith has made you well. King James says your faith has made you whole. And it's actually the word for saved. Sozo. Amen. So your faith has healed you, saved you, delivered you, rescued you. And you know what's the difference here? The other the ten, when they came, the Bible says as they went, they were what? Cleansed. It didn't say they were made whole or well. It didn't say they were saved. They were just cleansed. This guy, though, got something the rest of them didn't get. Why? Because he did some things differently than the rest of them. Do you reckon there might be some awesome keys in the things he did that will help you and I receive what he did? I can guarantee you. So let's go back and look at it. Look at verse 15 again. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed. I'm going to say this a few times. When he saw that he was healed. When he saw that he was healed, he did something. Now, when I say this, you're like, well, praise the Lord. If I would see that I was healed, I might do something too. You need to see right now, even if you're bound and riddled up with physical, emotional problems, what Jesus has already done for you. See, there's truth in this that goes deeper than the actual story. When you see that you are healed or were healed, you will do certain things. Now, that's awesome because what we see here is a lot of times people are trying to work themselves up and, well, I'm trying to be in faith, and then they'll do certain things. Like, oh, okay, well, I heard of this person throwing their medicine away, so I guess that's what I need to do is take my glasses off, stomp on them, and throw my medicine away because that's what somebody else did to get healed. Trying to be in faith. We encourage people all the time, don't do that. When do you do something like that? When you know. Here's Pat, you want to hear Pastor Trey's most brilliant definition of faith? There's a lot of definitions of faith, but I'm going to tell you, this is the best definition of faith you'll ever find. And it's one word. Faith knows. It knows. You know how I know that's the best definition? Most people that are present here today have very strong faith in one thing. You know what it is? God's real. That He's the one true and living God. Hopefully you believe that, or you wouldn't be here on a Sunday morning and playing patty cake with other people and acting like you're a Christian or something. That ain't what gets it done. But you hopefully believe God is real and our God is the one true and living God. If you believe that, raise your hand. And you know what? With most of you in here, I'm telling you, very few of you ever have any doubt of that. Most people don't ever, did anybody doubt this week the existence of God and that He's real? It just usually doesn't enter in. Why? Because we have faith in it. Once we become as persuaded and know things concerning healing, being made whole, the same way as we believe in the basic things like that, we'll start seeing some awesome miracles. I can promise you that. So it's getting our heart persuaded in those particular areas. So when this guy saw that he was healed, he did something. What's the first thing he did? The Bible says he returned. So when I am in this position of faith to be made whole, one of the first things that I'll do is I return to the Lord. A person that has faith does not keep himself at a distance from God, does not pursue God. I was ministering to a person just this past weekend, and this person was talking about, I just don't hear God's voice anymore. I just don't hear God's voice. God, I need you to speak to me like you used to speak to me, and all that kind of stuff. And I said, shut your mouth. That is not how you get God to speak to you. You get God to speak to you by believing what He says in the Word, that He always does speak to you. Because His sheep hear His voice, and His sheep know His voice. So you got to believe what He said over what you've experienced. And so, what do? You just say, well, Lord, I'm just on the wrong frequency. I'm over here on AM, and you're broadcasting on FM. That's really the only problem. You're speaking all the time over on FM, and I'm just over here on AM. I'm on the wrong frequency. It's my deal to adjust myself over to where you are constantly broadcasting on. That's the problem with most people. God's always talking. He's always talking. We're just not always listening. We're just not always there when He speaks. And it's like that with everything. So we return to the Lord. We will draw near to God. When we believe in Him, when our faith is in Him, you're not going to be out there doing things like the world. You're going to be right as close as you can get to God. That's one of the first things you do. And notice what else this guy did. With a loud voice. See, this is why your pastor's loud all the time. I was listening to some recordings we had during praise service, and I apologize to you, Cameron. I apologize to you, Brian. I didn't realize how loud I am when I sing. Just down here. I could hear me as good as I could hear them with the mics. But that's just because I just believe in a lot of cases God likes things loud. If you don't think that, you're going to be super shocked when you go to heaven. It is loud there. Guess who else is loud? Jesus. You know how you know Jesus was so loud? He preached to multitudes, thousands upon thousands of people with no PA system. So these theatrical portrayals of Jesus of being super sweet and soft and talking like this to people. Nah, Jesus was loud. Jesus is a preacher. And He is a declarer. And you find out a lot of times that the people that end up getting Jesus' results are the people that get loud like Jesus. Like this guy. With a loud voice, he did what? Glorified God. So he returned to the Lord. And he lifted his voice. And he glorified God. How? By saying, I glorify thee, Jesus. Survey says, no, that is not what he said. You do not glorify the Lord by saying, I glorify you, Lord. You glorify the Lord by actually glorifying Him. I know that's a little deep for a Sunday morning, but that's kind of true. You glorify Him by actually glorifying Him. Meaning, there's certain things you do that glorifies Him. And there was something this guy did. What was it? Well, he with a loud voice, he glorified God. Look at the next verse, verse 16. And he fell down on his face at his feet, giving Him thanks. That's what somebody that glorifies the Lord does. Now, it's not the only way you can glorify the Lord, but that was the way he did. Now, why is that so important? Because when you glorify something, you're praising it. And here's the fact of the matter. I usually like to shock people with this, but when it comes to praising the Lord and glorifying the Lord and things like that, most people, when you really understand what glorifying and praising is, you know what most people glorify and praise? Their grandkids, their job, their career, the devil. A lot of Christians praise the devil more than they do God. When you understand what praise is. Now, I'm not saying they say, I praise you, Satan. No, they're not doing that. What they're doing is they're talking about all the things he's doing more than they're talking about all the things God's doing. And so you're essentially praising the wrong thing when you do that. And why is this so important? Because this is how you get whole. This is where you get your healing from. Because if you spend the majority of your time talking about glorifying, magnifying, praising something other than the healer, it's not going to lead you any closer to the healing. The way you get made whole is you do what this guy did. Return to the Lord, lift up your voice, and begin to glorify the one that makes us whole. And when I say this, I'm not talking about for 4 minutes on a Monday morning after you read your devotion. That's better than nothing, but it's essentially next to nothing. If you want to get made whole, what are you going to have to do? You are going to have to get serious and radical like these people did. And you're going to have to come to the Lord and say, all right, God, I'm serious about this. I'm finding out in the Word that there were people that came to you and got whatever they needed from the Lord. It's there. It's accessible. I can get what these 10 lepers got, even when you're not having a healing meeting. And so what I'm going to do is I'm going to wake myself up at a certain time tomorrow morning, on Monday morning, and I've got some time. And I'm going to spend not one, not two, 3+ hours glorifying you for being the healer that you are. That you are my answer. That you are my source. And you start telling the Lord that He is with a loud voice. And why is that important? There's a lot to be said for lifting your voice. You know why? The devil's hard of hearing. He don't want to hear you. And so is your heart. Your heart has been had things spoken to it for years that have gotten you in the condition you're in. And so it's not going to just be a day that's going to remove it. Amen. I remember hearing a story one time from Norville Hayes, a really awesome testimony. I listen to Norville a lot just because he makes me laugh. But he's got some really good truth too. And he said on one particular thing, he had somebody come to a meeting that he had, and this lady had, she was riddled in her liver with cancer. I mean, to the point to where she was only supposed to have, a few months to live or something like that. They said that's probably a maximum. She came to his meeting, and he called her up. He said, he had a persuasion and a confidence how these things work. He said, will you do anything I ask you to do? She said, yes, sir, that's why we're here. We drove all the way from upstate New York to come down here to hear you in Tennessee. We'll do whatever you tell them to do. He said, I want you, and it was essentially what I've just taught y'all, I want you to spend a couple of hours every day for as long as it takes calling the Lord your healer. Now, I'm going to tell you, you're going to lose a lot of people because most people aren't going to do that. You know why? Because they don't believe it's going to do anything. You'd do it if you believed. And she said, I'll do it. And she said for a long time, even her husband sometimes had to get her up and do it. And she and her husband would call on the Lord. Thank you, Lord, that you're my healer. You're my miracle worker, Lord. I thank you, Lord, you got new livers in heaven. And I thank you that you're giving me a new liver here on the earth. Thank you, Lord, that you're my healer. And she did it over and over and over and over for days and days and days and days, for weeks and weeks and weeks, for months and months. And then she noticed there was a change, but she was so set into this new ritual that she got up and still glorified the Lord for being her healer. Finally ended up going to the doctor. God gave her a brand new liver. Why? Because she called on the Lord with a loud voice and called on the Lord her healer. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Let me give you one more verse. Go over to Romans chapter 10 with me. This has been, I was talking about different favorite Bible verses. Here's one of my new favorites. Romans chapter 10. I didn't give you this one, Mary. Verse 12. I love it. I mean, Romans chapter 10. Whew, when you understand how salvation works and everything like that, and I'm talking about getting saved and now getting healed, you find out real quick, this is how all this stuff works. Hallelujah. I mean, because what's he start off with? We know the Romans Road. All you Baptists in here, all you Bapticostals that are with us today, you know about the Romans Road, don't you? And you know Romans chapter 10, verses 9 and 10 are thrown in there about if you believe in your heart and confess with your mouth, you will be saved. Same way you get healed. Amen. And he says all these things, and I want you to notice what he says in verse 12. For there is no distinction between the Jew and Greek. Now, that might not mean much to you today, but there's ways in which you can apply that to yourself. That basically back then, there was a big difference between whether you were Jewish or you were of the house of Israel or if you were a Gentile. All right? And what Paul came to give to them was a new ministry that God had given him, and it was this: there is no difference now between the Jew and the Gentile. Amen. So how do we apply that to ourselves? Well, not just whether we're not of Jewish bloodline or anything like that, but how about this? It don't matter if you're black or white. It don't matter if you're male or female. It doesn't matter if you're a good Christian or a bad Christian. It doesn't matter if you're this. There is no distinction. Why? For the same Lord over all. Because there's only one God, right? There's only one God, and He's over all. He created all this earth. The same Lord over all is what? Rich to all who what? Call upon Him. Oh, thank you, Lord. See, you see the truth here? Anybody of any skin color, any sexual orientation, of anything that makes us different on this planet and of the flesh, anybody that calls upon Him gets something. What? God's richness. And He says right after this, verse 13, for whoever, say whoever, whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's not just talking about being born again. That's how you get anything from God. So those that call, whoever calls on the name of the Lord, help me, they shall be delivered. Whoever calls on the name of the Lord, they shall be healed. For those, anybody that calls on the name of the Lord will be rescued of whatever the problem is. So what do? Call on the Lord. Amen. Now how do you call on the Lord? Kind of like them lepers, or the one leper did, the Samaritan. You call on the Lord by, with a loud voice, glorifying Him and saying, Jesus, You are Jehovah Nissi, the Lord my banner. Jesus, You are Jehovah Jireh, the Lord my provider. Jesus, You are Jehovah Imkadish, the Lord my sanctifier. Jesus, You are the Lord my Rapha, the Lord my healer. You're Rohi, the Lord my shepherd. You are whatever I need You to be. So I'm going to call You that. And I'm going to call You my healer. I'm going to call You the one that makes me whole. And as you do this and you lift your voice in doing it, then Jesus looks to you and says what? Arise! Go your way! Your faith has made you whole. Let's arise in this place today. Thank You, Jesus. Oh, I forgot to tell you the title of my message today. What whole people do? What whole people do? This is what gets results for everybody. There is no, well, you never know what God will do. Sometimes He does, sometimes He doesn't. There is none of that. That's a lie that religion has taught us. The truth is, if I call on the name of the Lord, I can get it. And whether that's financial, whether that's physical, whether that's whatever, if it's being healed in your heart of something, thank You, Lord, that You are the one who heals the brokenhearted. Oh, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because You have anointed me to preach the good news to the poor, to heal the brokenhearted. This is life-altering, transforming truth that'll set you free of any infirmity, any disease, any brokenness, if we obey, if we do what the Lord tells us to do. So every head bowed, every eye closed. Thank You, Lord, today, that today we recognize You as the same Lord over all. And that You are rich. This isn't just talking about money. This is talking about abundance in anything. In the vaults of heaven, if they had that, there is anything you could possibly ever need to make your life whole, healed, and well. And if you call on it deliberately, persistently, like that bulldog faith, you can have it. Don't limit God, but receive from Him today everything He wills and desires for you to have in the name of Jesus.